Welcome to the Annotated Jack, Nonproductive's late to the party rewatch of Samurai Jack. It's been 15 years since Genndy Tartakovsky's groundbreaking animated series first went on the air, and in preparation for its upcoming fifth season, we're rewatching every episode of the original show.
Welcome back, everybody. I am James, and I'm joined not at all in studio by...
It's me, Frank.
And me, Al.
And this week, we are talking about Samurai Jack Episode 7, Jack and the Three Blind Archers. This is a great episode.
It is. Visually, it's one of my favorite ones. This is the first episode we got Genndy as the sole director since, I think, the pilot, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is pretty cool. And yeah, it's got a lot of great visuals in it, and I can't wait to get into it. Because it starts with Techno Vikings.
I'm not gonna lie. You're totally right. That had me in it. Like, as soon as we started, it was like the Viking guy and like the giant robots, full, like just robot Vikings, the saws in the ground. It was like, wow, okay, I'm in. Lord of the Rings opening, I guess. Jeez.
Well, better than Lord of the Rings opening, it was Techno Vikings. Robot Vikings attacking a tower in the middle of nowhere. The tower is guarded or protected by three archers who look like jackals, who look like Anubis. Man, stylish out the wing. Here's the thing. Like, none of that really consistently makes a lot of sense. Why are there Vikings there? Why are the Vikings robots? What's this tower doing in the middle of nowhere? Why are there ancient Egyptian gods protecting the tower with arrows? Why are there three of them? Why arrows? Like, none of this really links together in any way that makes sense, other than it perfectly makes sense visually. It's beautiful. I love this. And it's a rain of arrows before, 300. Literally black in the sky. That's so cool. So cool.
It is really cool. So for those who are following along at home, basically the point or the plot of the episode is that the three archers guard what's called the Well of Orzik. It's basically your standard like genre well of can grant wishes. So Jack hears about the well from a patron in an establishment he's in, and the guy warns him, don't go, those archers, they have like deadly accurate precision, but obviously Jack decides to go anyway.
And worth noting is the guy in the tavern, I don't even think it was a tavern, I think he was on a pirate ship, he was on a ship. And
yeah,
the guy on the ship was the guy who was in charge of the robot Viking army. Like, so like, just imagine that guy's story arc. What? He was the head of an army of robot Vikings, which I don't even know if that comes with any power, really. Maybe robot Vikings are not that great. Maybe, like, they don't vote or farm, so he doesn't really have a country. Somehow, he lost his entire army of robot Vikings and then ended up, like, cleaning the floors of a ship. There are levels to this story that never get explained, and it's perfect. That's where, like... That's where fan fiction is born.
I'm going to agree once again because it is such a deliciously tragic moment, and it sort of sets up very well. And can I also say something? I love the stark contrast to the weather when we start and when Jack gets there, because it's this very big, bright field, and there's a lot of browns and like heavy kind of colors. And when we get there, when Jack gets there, it's no longer that sort of spring or fall season. It's a cold winter that Jack attempts this lone excursion to the tower. That it's a very interesting sort of aesthetic choice, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Down to the bones of robots littering the field before the tower. That is always like, I love when animators can get away with showing corpses because the robots. It's really interesting.
I just love the snow aesthetic in this show in general. Like, I always love when this show does kind of those winter landscape. It's just so white, and the use of kind of like the falling circles and stuff as snow, as compared to kind of like these clumps. It really does look so beautiful and so like almost like a painting, like in a way that other parts of the show you know, don't quite as much.
But let's go back to like the design of the three archers, because I actually really like them. They're like Frank said, very Anubis kind of, but at the same time, there's some semblance of rodent features because the nose is just looking at the noses, and I like the idea of calling back to the three blind mice to a bit in the in the idea.
That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't pick up on that. I love the way their ears react. Like when Jack finally realizes the way they are targeting him, and let's just say the targeting is pretty terrifying. When the scene with arrows being shot in between the toes of somebody, like, that's got to be the number one most intimidating thing you could do with an arrow. Like, if you want to show off you're good, just shoot arrows between the toes of somebody. That was impressive. And when he's Jack pays attention to his surroundings, he notices that their ears are like moving like radar, almost like insect in a way. They're just sort of like pivoting each on their own little axis. It's interesting. And I like that we can see Jack thinking his way through problems. It's not just he has a magic sword and he's the best swordsman ever. That's how come he wins. It's because he thinks his way and feels his way, and it's his experiences. So we get a flashback to his training that gives him an idea of, that gives him that leg up when it comes to fighting these creatures, where he attempts to do so while blindfolded.
And let's, can I just talk about how excited I get when he obviously gets this idea to blindfold himself, and pardon my friends, but that is some samurai shit right there. I mean, it's cool seeing Jack like in the future and all that sort of stuff, but like, you know, this is samurai Jack. So when we see him like get into that zone, put on the blindfold and use everything he's learned to get through those archers, like, it's just like, it's just exciting. It's really exciting. It's really fun.
And how they display, again, wonderful. By you could see Jack with the flashback knowing what he should do. He notices the ears, and you can see the way they're focusing in on him and going crazy when he starts getting more active. What I find most interesting is when you're seeing the scenes in the slow motion and the scenes where he's attuning his senses, the soundtrack goes up, background music goes down, and background color is gone. So it's just stark, and you could hear the sounds of water and the sounds of birds' wings flapping and things like that. It's an interesting way to show other senses in a medium that is dominated by visual, because it's, you know, animation. It's all about what you can see. Just well done.
And I'm going to say, like, come on, meditating under a waterfall. That's, come on. That's classic.
I know this is the second week in a row, I know this is the second episode in a row that I'm doing this, but you got to also look at these genre tropes and then look at it from like a new perspective of like ableism. So why the hell did Samurai Jack blindfolds himself and suddenly he's on par with these magical beings that have radar ears? Like, it's a little ridiculous, but it's completely within the framework of the genre we're working with. I feel a little guilty about it because it's stupid. It's one of those things that normal dumb people believe is actually true, that when you lose at one sense, all your other senses become magical. And I think it's kind of dangerous and not
everybody's
a good idea.
Everybody's Daredevil.
Right, that assuming every blind person you meet is Daredevil. You know, it's a bad thing, but at the same time, these stories exist for a reason, and if you want to play with that world, you got to have to dip in there occasionally. I think they did an okay job of it. Again, this sort of like the bazaar from Jack and the Warrior Woman feels a little weird now, but I don't know. It's still pretty amazing what they do.
I feel like it doesn't. It definitely doesn't feel as weird as the bazaar. You know what
no,
I mean?
Not like, nearly as weird as the bazaar. And I feel like this has more of a home in pop. And sorry, not pop, but pulp. comic books and novels than the Bazaar did. I feel like, you know, doing the blind thing to try and overcome your enemies, it makes that's a trope that was, you know, I can understand that trope.
But it's also
it was weird though, because you do have to sit there and think, like, well, wait a minute, wouldn't you just use that to your advantage? You figured out what it was. Now, like, why is the solution be blind too?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like maybe that is the better choice to take aesthetically anyway.
I think if they had put some effort into, you know, the reason why Jack is successful is because he didn't try to take advantage of knowing he had an advantage. He instead did the honorable thing and fought them with the same weapons that they had, or something like that. May have been interesting. They didn't really move towards that story. But regardless, it was full of interesting visuals and audio. And it was just it was a very cool way of assembling a story. And we have yet another situation where Jack loses his chance to go home. But in this case, it's a little different.
Oh no, I was just about to say, you know, the one thing that I think we should need to revisit in this episode is, of course, Jack again giving up a chance to go home. But in this way, as you were about to say, Frank, it's a little different, because he finds out that the well is, you know, it's a double-edged sword, the kind of be careful what you wish for sort of trope. You know, the archers, they asked to be great warriors. They became great warriors, but they lost their sight to do that. So instead of Jack wishing to go back to his own time, you know, and, you know, taking the consequences that come with that, he wishes that the well, or the spirit of the well, be destroyed, so that it can't, you know, trick anyone else.
Right.
And he gives up his chance to go home that way.
And even that is it's satisfying in that Jack takes agency and why he stops. Like, he doesn't have, it's not just that he's getting the rug pulled out from underneath him again, but on the other hand, it's like the blind question. It's, well, are you really doing this because you're a good guy, or you just know that this is a poison well? Like, you're going to wish to go back in time, and you go back in time before you were born, and then, I don't know, whatever happens. Like, it doesn't seem like, you know, there was two things here. One, it's dangerous to make wishes here. And two, it's like the Aladdin story of, I'm going to spend my wish freeing you. It's interesting, but a little odd, a little not well formed. But we, I think, forgive it because it's such a well directed episode and storyboarded. An artist, Mark Andrews and Brian Andrews. Mark Andrews from, guess what? Pixar's Brave.
Oh wow! Geez.
Yeah,
oh,
makes sense, right? Yeah, you get the archery and everything in there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I do want to say one thing though. Like, I really feel, like, this time, far more than last episode, I really got Jack's frustration at, like, crap, not again, and, like, I so close, it's taken away. Like, I really felt that, like, just, in that animation, and it worked so well. I totally bought that he was just miserable because of this. So, and there was a lot of that frustration on his face, and I really liked that. I thought that was really good.
I think a lot of that, a lot of what we talked about this episode as a whole, plays into an interesting little tidbit about this episode. This episode actually aired out of order. It aired as the fourth episode in the series on television right before Jack in Space, because it's such a strong episode, I think it almost, seeing that frustration that you're talking about, Alan, seeing Jack in this way, helps make the next couple of times that he gives up or loses even more painful, you know, or more difficult, and yet in some ways more tolerable. It's just a really strong episode, and clearly Cartoon Network wanted that to follow up pretty closely with, it would have technically been almost right after the pilot, right? Because it's the first three episodes of the pilot, and then they immediately went to another episode directed by the creator to just keep that strong presence.
It's very interesting. Do you know what episode we're doing next week? Next time?
Yes. Next time we will be talking about Jack versus Mad Jack.
Oh no, Mad Jack.
This is, yeah.
Evil.
Good night, everybody.